Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing in retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest running live financial show in America with a financial advisor and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting PFGWM. Or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com. Or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
Welcome into another edition of Investing Simplified. However you are listening to us today, thanks for making us a part of your day. Just a reminder, you can listen to the show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and such. Just search for Investing Simplified, and we are on there as well. In studio with me today is Kevin Stege of Baker Coulson. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Bo.
We also have Michael Standard from Fairway Mortgage back with us. Hello, Michael.
Good morning.
So I wanted to start, guys, kind of today talking about, it's a recurring theme. I know you guys talked about it last week, Kevin, with Chuck, and, you know, there's just volatility is back in the market, and volatility is here, I think, to stay. A lot of people have been surprised by it somehow, but volatility is the norm in the stock market, and it actually, if you're still saving, if you're still plugging money away, you should be excited about the volatility. When we have these 1-2% movements in a day, if the market is down, that's when you should be putting more money in. So, you know, the old adage is buy low, sell high. If the market is down, that's a time to be upping your contributions in your 401k. That's the time to be allocating your contributions, thinking about making a contribution to your IRA, because you can get access to those stocks, those companies at a lower price. Even if you're just buying the S&P 500 index, it's a lower price at that point. However, that's when you're in what's called your accumulation phase. So we're trying to stash as much money away. We've got 20, 30 years till we're going to touch it. It really doesn't matter what the market's doing. You don't have to worry about what the market's doing. The adage I use, I had a client the other day mentioned, she called it, when she signed up for her 401k, she's getting ready to retire. She, you know, the gal helping her set it up said, think about it like an antique fridge, basically. The 401k options, the 401k provider is required to offer you good quality options. You know, they're not required, they can't just offer you, you know, fly by night stuff. That's part of their fiduciary duty as the plan offering. And so if you pick a good growth fund that's in there, and no matter who your provider is, there's a good growth fund in there. If you pick a target date fund, pick something, start putting money away and leave it in there. Don't worry about it. In 40, 50 years, it might be worth something, just like that fridge that you bought. You bought a fridge, but now it's an antique. 40, 50 years from now, somebody might want to pay a lot for it. So I thought that was a good analogy for when you get started, when you're putting money away, is pick those funds. Don't stress about how to pick them. If you do want to have some advice on which funds to pick, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. Chuck and I'd be happy to chat with you about different options, get you set up based on your risk tolerance. And then you kind of, I don't want to call it set and forget because you want to pay attention to it, but the idea is that's your retirement money. You can't touch it for 30 years. So if the market's up, market's down, it's okay. If it's down, that's actually good for you because you're dollar cost averaging in. But when you transition to getting ready to retire, or as I like to call it when doing planning with folks, work optional rather than retirement planning, it's work optional planning. So you get to the point where you can just decide whether or not you want to work anymore. Volatility is no longer your friend. And so if you don't have a strategy for volatility, ask your advisor, what is our strategy for continued market volatility, especially in that distribution phase? And I know it's going to get annoying because I've said this over and over again. Chuck says this over and over again. But you need that strategy because if the market does go down, which it will, sometime between now and the end of time, the market's going to go down, and it's going to go down big. And if we have another episode like we did at the turn of the century here in the early 2000s, so we started in 1999 with the dot-com bubble, if we have another financial crisis type of downturn in the market, you could be down as much as 50% in your portfolio if you're improperly allocated. Now, if in that first situation you're in that accumulation phase, that's not a bad thing. Stuff's on sale. Let's put some more money in. You got time to ride it out. But if you are about to retire and your portfolio is down 50%, you now have to get a 100% return in order to get back to even. Now, I don't know. If you guys know, do you guys know of an investment that we can guarantee will have a 100% return in the next year or two? I don't know of one.
I've never heard of any.
And if you're being promised one, don't call 503-253-3000 to get help from me. Call the police because you're getting scammed, right? But if you're looking for stability in retirement, you need to have a plan for that increased volatility. And some of those investments can be safer investments. We can talk about stable funds. We can talk about annuities. We can talk about real estate. We can talk about a lot of different options that you can build to have in there for that plan of where do we take our money out when we are in that distribution phase when the market is volatile. And you just need to have a strategy, and whether that strategy is cash, whether the strategy is those other options we talked about, as long as you know what you're doing and your advisor knows what you're doing, that's the key. So I got so excited about this that I failed to mention. If you have a question specifically, Michael is going to talk a little bit about mortgage and real estate investing today. We're going to talk about interest rates, different things that are really exciting out for you. Kevin's going to talk about some tax implications of different strategies that we use. But if you have a specific question that you want to ask, something that's been keeping you up at night, something that's been bugging you about your taxes, about your investments, about your financial planning, about your estate planning, give us a call right now, which is 877-733-1011. It's 503-733-1011. Good gravy. Get it together. I've been off a week, and then I can't even remember the phone number. But give us a call when you call in here. Did I get it wrong?
No, you got it right the first time.
Oh, okay. 877-733-1011.
That's right. Or
503-417-9595. Good grade.
There we go.
Good. I need to be put out the pasture.
You watched too much college football yesterday.
I'm excited about college football. Michael, I don't know. Are you? You're not a duck, right? Oh yeah, he's shaking his head like it's. I mean, I'm dead to you right now, right? It's Kevin and I. We're going to be rooting for our alma mater.
That's right.
Got a big game. Coming up. Start of the Pac-12 season. Are you a Beaver? Is that maybe a little bit just...
I lived near Eugene, so oh, okay. I learned my lesson.
I can understand that. So, pick up the phone. Like I said, give us a call. Ask that question that's been keeping you up. Also, you can visit investingsimplifiedradio.com and send your question in there via text. You can also drop me an email at bo@pfgwm.com. So, I had an experience, Chuck talks about it. We had a client that we came in that he talked about it with you last week on the radio, right? Where he said, hey, my risk tolerance is super conservative. I want to go super conservative. And his advisor, unfortunately, put him in a fund that's basically tracking the NASDAQ. And the NASDAQ's not a conservative portfolio, right? So if you don't have a plan, if you're not sure of what you're doing, give our office a call and we're happy to give you a free second opinion, because if you're invested in the NASDAQ, you're retired, and you think that you are conservative, that's a problem. Conceivably, if we continue to have more than 1% movements in the market, then that's really going to be trouble. And, I know a lot of people wonder, is that the president that's causing that with tariff talk? Is that the trade war? It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things. And if you have a plan for them, the idea is not to try and guess what's going to come out of Washington, what's going to come out of Beijing, what's going to come out of anywhere. The idea is to have a plan for no matter what comes out of any of those places, right?
I'm curious, kind of along those same lines, to ask you, gentlemen, what's your perspective on where the economy is going? From my perspective, I see it... I see a lot of job openings. I see a lot of unemployment down. I see a lot of confidence in the businesses. And I know that's not what we're quite hearing in the news. Right. But I don't see just from, you know, and I have a small circle. I don't see the big picture, you know, that I deal with. But I do get a wide range of businesses and, you know, people are hiring. We're planning for higher tax bills. We're trying to spend money to get deductions. So, I mean, I don't always see that the news is, you know, exactly. But I'm curious to see what you guys see from your circles.
So the business owners I deal with, and I do deal with business owners who are refinancing their existing homes and their other properties, they're optimistic. They see some growth. They see more opportunities. And I think that the news uses certain words that are ridiculous, like recession. It's not a recession. We're going to have, of course, a slowdown in our economy. We have to. And then we'll see it pick back up. But I think the existing market we're in, investment market, and our existing businesses are doing very well, and they're very happy where they're at. And they're also strategizing for what do we do when it does slow down? What else can we buy? Mm-hmm. What other investment properties can we pick up? So it's not a bad thing. We have to have the ups and downs, and they're all expecting it.
Right, the recession being a bad thing is funny, and we have recessions, you know, on average, you know, every certain amount of years.
But they make it a dirty word.
Right, they say it's scary, but it's sort of you know, it flushes out the chaff, right? So it's like, hey, let's get everything's on sale. Let's kind of figure out where stuff needs to kind of balance out, and then it's an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. A recession is an opportunity, and so we'll hear, you know, you hear things about the yield curve inverting because as money flows in, so much money is coming into U.S. Treasuries, it's really driving the price of those way up and the yields on them way down, right? So there's a real, the yield curve is a recessionary predictor, mm-hmm. right? So when the yield curve inverts, so when the 10-year yield is lower than the 2-year yield, and when that stays for a while, because logically, longer term, you should be getting paid more, right? But right now, you're not. And if that stays for a while, that's a very reliable predictor of a recession. But that's, they say that, and if, you know, sort of it bleeds, it leads thing. They don't describe, oh, but that could be anywhere from 4 to 18 months from when it does is when the recession happens. And that recession could be anywhere from 3 to 36 months long, right? So it's not like it's, when it hits recession, it's just a measurement of, you know, of what happens in the market, and it's a measurement of percentage down pull. Doesn't mean that it's doom and gloom and everything's bad. There's opportunities for investment in a recession, whether that's real estate, whether that's in business. And I mean, I don't know. It's so hard to find people right now. I know that people are hiring and they can't find good people. There's just not enough job seekers for, I feel like, the job market right now. I think it's pretty strong.
The construction market is booming. And also when the yield curve turns down, of course, mortgage rates go down.
Right.
And if you are able to, if you have over 5% mortgage rate today, if you can refi, you've got $200 or $300 more in your pocket. What would you do with that?
Right.
Hopefully invest it.
Right. Or maybe spend it in terms of buying, you know, consumer goods, which just drives the economy back up, right? That's
right.
A positive.
Or put it in your savings account.
Right.
It's a great opportunity to get some cash back in your pocket.
Right. No, I like that. And I think that's a good segue here. We're going to take our first break here. But when we come back, I'd love to talk more, Michael, about what's opportunities out there with this new lower mortgage rates. Don't go away, folks. Listen in. We're going to talk about the exciting opportunities with these interest rates that we have right now. So you're listening to Investing Simplified, and we'll be right back. Financial Group, Wealth Management.
We do Investing Simplified.
Saving enough money for retirement can be difficult. Which path is best for your income and retirement goals? Having a solid financial plan is critical. Hi, this is Bo Caldwell from Price Financial Group Wealth Management, and I'm here to help. I host the live radio show Investing Simplified here on Freedom 970. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions, and all for free. If you need a financial checkup, call Price Financial Group Wealth Management today at 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. And tune in to Investing Simplified right here on Freedom 970. For more information about Price Financial Group and Investing Simplified, visit www.pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Experience, integrity, results.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for tuning in. If you're just joining us, we've been talking a little bit about market progress this year, about possible recessions, but really what we kind of got excited before the break, we were just talking about interest rates. And Michael, if you'd tell me a little bit more, I know you kind of pinged it beforehand, but where's the 30-year mortgage rate right now? Where's the 15-year mortgage? Could I go out and refinance my mortgage right now, and would it make sense for me?
Yeah, if you have an interest rate over 4.75, you should definitely start looking.
Okay.
If you're over 5 or 5, you definitely have to. And that gives you the opportunity to get down in between 3.75 and 4.25 reasonably. Now, rates are going to change every day, and of course you can buy down lower. But we're locking rates right now between 3.5% and 4% on the 30-year.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good deal. That's a great refi opportunity. The other is, if you're a first-time home buyer, my gosh, what a great time to get into the market and to quit paying rents and to get, even using some of the FHA programs where you only have to put down 3.5%, you can get a really good, you can get into a really good house at a really inexpensive rate.
That's not bad. I mean, you know, 3.5% is super low.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And we're also dealing in the market with a lot of seniors who, I'll just tell a quick story. I have some clients who bought a pretty nice house in retirement, and he is working part-time at a grocery store. He's 73. He doesn't feel like he can continue on. So we were able to talk with him about downsizing, and with the new home equity conversion mortgage, or the HECM loan, he's able to take his equity from his house when he sells it and purchase a smaller home, but he only has to put 55% down. So he's going to be able to take that and get into a $350,000 home that he likes and not have to make a mortgage payment for the rest of his life. So he's not forced to work. So he has the ability to do something in life at the end of his career, so to speak.
Well, that, you know, that's the, then you get to the, what, like I just said, work optional, right?
That's right.
Not just not retirement plan, but working work optional. So that's really nice to have an option out there.
So I was going to go back to your prior point, especially about first-time home buyers, and sometimes just the good old conventional wisdom sometimes needs to be repeated. And you know, for younger folks out there who are considering a first-time home purchase, it's not a bad thing to try to get in with, you know, especially if you're a hard worker, to get as much house as you can get, and even if it's at the 3.5%, and take advantage of a refi or two along the way to get yourself up over the 20%, get out of the mortgage insurance.
Correct.
And pretty soon, about 8-10 years later, you're looking at what was a difficult mortgage payment that you worked through. All of a sudden, you're paying, 10 years from now, you're paying less than, for a decent house, less than what a one-bedroom apartment would cost.
Right.
And that's a nice place to be, and it's a carrot that's not that far down the road. I think the only fly in that ointment is, you know, are you going to keep working hard? Can you keep the income coming?
Right.
What's your employment look like? And if you can, you and your significant other can keep that up, what a great start.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And actually, it looks like we do have Kathy now. So, Kathy, go ahead, hit us with
your
question.
Hi. Good morning. Yes. My question is for Kevin. I and my husband just recently have a trust added to our estate planning. And I know how the products that we have beneficiaries on, I know how that tax will go down. But on a trust, with products that are inside of a trust, how is the estate tax, if there is any, and of course, and there will be, Oregon state tax, is that automatically, does that go to the person receiving the estate, or Can it be paid by the estate? Which is better to do?
Very good question. So basically, yes, to step back, your full taxable estate will include everything in the trust and items that have direct beneficiaries. So that's what your estate tax will be generated on. But your question is definitely an income tax. And so once the second of you passes away and the trust becomes irrevocable, typically we make an election to say this trust, we would like it to be taxed as an estate for income tax purposes. We're getting a little technical here, a lot of cross terms. But basically what that does is now every item that doesn't directly go to a Benny but is controlled by the trust document on the date of death of the second to die, that the income basically goes to the estate on a 1041, and it can be taxed at the estate if no distributions are made to the beneficiaries. But that's typically what we do not want to see, that because the trust rates are pretty high. The estate income tax rates are pretty high.
Yeah.
And so if monies are passed out to the Bennies, then the income follows the Bennies. And sometimes there's a fair amount of income. Sometimes it's a short administration period and there's not a lot of income. And in the past, a lot of times we've even actually passed out a loss. Those losses aren't deductible anymore with the new tax law changes. They cut out that part of Schedule A.
Sure.
So, there's some flexibility there, and typically you'd like to see it passed out to the beneficiaries.
Yes. Isn't that within, what, a year after death, or?
Usually a complicated estate, it will take a couple years, like two tax returns to file. Even a simple estate usually takes about 9 months or so.
Right.
So you might be 1 or 2 years.
Okay. And in that, then in the first year, if you're not able to get everything out, then is that's when the estate would actually owe some tax?
Potentially. We typically, if we see it dragging on, we would like to see partial distributions made so that at least the income goes out to the Bennies. But sometimes the estate wants to pay it, and that can happen.
Okay. Then if, let's see, I know I have another part of that question.
There's a lot of trails that come off one question leads to another.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
And, oh, shoot.
Well, you can call back later. We're here.
Yeah, right? We're not going anywhere. That's true.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help.
Excellent.
You betcha.
Thanks for calling, Kathy.
That's an excellent question because, you know, and what Kathy's question had to do, and maybe a lot of, because you kind of jumped through it pretty fast, but the difference, mm-hmm. the income is the income that the trust, now irrevocable, earns between the date of death and the date of full distribution,
right?
So that's income, if there are bonds in there that are paying interest, or if there are dividends that are paid, or just any, or if it's rental property that they, you know, investment property they have in there that's paying off income. But otherwise, it's not necessarily generating income per se. It doesn't automatically happen, right?
That's right.
Whatever income is generated. And,
yeah.
And correct me, what I heard you say was sort of, if, let's say that we have that income, if that in the trust is, if the estate is distributing that income straight out. So my trust has income and it's coming out to the two of you. You guys are able to recognize that income rather than the trust, even if we can't get the actual property out, but as long as the income is being distributed.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
That's
okay.
Right. Yep. Typically, we'll see a large tax at the trust/estate level when an IRA does not have beneficiaries designated and it gets distributed to the estate, or if the estate is the beneficiary, that's when we typically see a large income hit the tax return, mm-hmm. and we would want to see that distributed to the beneficiaries quickly and not taxed at the high tax rates of the trust.
Well, and it's unfortunate Taylor's not here today because I would ask her about that, but I see a lot of people that just designate their estate as a beneficiary of their IRA, or they designate their spouse, and because they don't have kids, maybe, or they don't have someone specifically as a contingent beneficiary, but that can be a pretty big negative, right? And I think, as far as, you know, from what I understand, again, I would, you know, if she was here, we could ask her specifically, but that passes then intestate, right? So if it goes into your estate and you don't have a will set up or a trust set up, and it just the beneficiary is your estate, that could all, not only cost you money in probate costs, but then in estate tax costs, because now that it's generating income while you're going through probate.
Yeah. Typically, the only time we see an estate receive an IRA or specifically be the beneficiary is when the decedent doesn't want that IRA to go to a specific person or doesn't have a beneficiary they want to handle that. Maybe it's going to fund a special needs trust or something along sure. those lines. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that can make sense, right? That makes sense to me. You know, that's a really good question that Kathy had too. I'm sure that's a common one to see. How can we, necessarily avoid that, especially income tax? The state tax starts at 10%, right? So the Oregon estate tax, which is not super high, mm-hmm. but the income tax on that estate is really high, right? It starts at a much higher level.
Correct. You're in the top tax brackets. They use the same tax rates as an individual, but they're greatly compressed, and you're in the top tax bracket where when you're an individual and you're needing like $400,000 to be in the top bracket, $13,000.
Wow.
You're in the top bracket. So they really want you to get this, the trust needs to be administered correctly to.
Ouch.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Yeah, that's not very much income to get to that top bracket. That's key to make sure that you have a good trustee or a good executor of your estate, depending on, Taylor schooled me on that. It's different terms for different spots, and they're kind of used interchangeable. But whoever's going to be handling that, your personal representative, your trustee, that you make sure that they are aware of what your wishes are. But maybe, working with a professional, like you hear Kevin's just gone through. If you're listening right now, Kevin's just gone through, five different of the thousands of scenarios that could happen when you have an estate, when you have a trust that's built off of your estate. And working with a professional like Kevin is, if you're thinking about this plan, give his office a call, sit down and talk about making sure that you have it laid out, because we talked about this all the time. I don't mind paying my fair share of taxes, although I'd like to pay less than I do, quite honestly, but I don't mind paying my fair share, but I don't want to pay more than my fair share. And a lot of times you end up paying more because you haven't properly planned. You haven't gotten out in front of it and making mistakes that maybe you just didn't know you were making or didn't know about different strategies to use.
That's right. One other item that's really key in this whole thing is a trust is taxed differently than an estate, even though we use the term interchangeably. An estate has better income tax rules. And one of those rules is you can elect a fiscal year, which determines the year that the beneficiary has to report their income on their income tax return. And so that's an item we actually plan quite often. And it's almost a no-brainer to always have the trust elect to be taxed as an estate. So a living trust, someone dies, becomes irrevocable, you have to make this election to get those favorable options. Another option with that is it lets you accrue expenses in the final year. A lot better options when you do that. So
right,
and lot to know.
What I heard just right there is I need to have somebody that does that for me. And I know a lot, right? I know a lot of these rules and a lot, but that's what I hear there is I need to be calling off. If you have a situation like that, if you think you're going to be bumping up against that, or you're not really sure whether or not you're going to be bumping up against that, it behooves you just to at least have a conversation.
That's right,
for sure. So we're going to take another break here. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation, but we'd love to have your calls. Kevin, what's the number for people to call in? I didn't write it down this
morning. 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011.
So give us a call if you have any question. Otherwise, we're going to keep waxing poetic about what interests us. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
It's Michael Standard, Regional Reverse Mortgage Specialist and Senior Mortgage Banker with Fairway's First Team Independent Mortgage Corporation. For more information on home equity conversion mortgages and traditional mortgages, please call me at 360-690-5278. Again, 360-690-5278 for a free consultation, or email me at michael.standard@fairwaymc.com. NMLS number 1674259.
Copyright 2019. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Fairway. NMLS number 2289. 4750 South Biltmore Lane. Madison, Wisconsin. 53718. 1-866-912-4800. All rights reserved. Fairway is not affiliated with any government agencies. These materials are not from HUD or FHA and were not approved by HUD or a government agency. Reverse mortgage borrowers are required to obtain an eligibility certificate by receiving counseling sessions with a HUD-approved agency. The youngest borrower must be at least 62 years old. Monthly reverse mortgage advances may affect eligibility for some other programs. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Other restrictions and limitations apply. Michael Standards, Oregon and Washington, NMLS number 1674259.
It's now time for the Mortgage Makeover with Michael Standard of Fairway Mortgage, NMLS number 1674259. Have a mortgage question? Call now at 503-417-9595. Now, here's Michael Standard.
Hey guys, wanted to talk a little bit about one of my experiences with a client out there. We had an attorney refer some business to us, and the spouse, the mom, had MS, and she was put into a care home, and the father was still at the house, and so they divided the estate, mm-hmm. as the elder law attorney prescribed, and so she's on Medicaid. So all of her income is going to pay for her care. So he doesn't get that income anymore from Social Security and pension. So he was stuck. He couldn't afford the mortgage he had. So we were able to walk in, knock out his mortgage. He actually got cash back. He has a line of credit that's growing at 4.5%. So he's safe now. We're experiencing a lot of that out there. You have friends and family who probably are going to experience that. And they should talk about this ahead of time, figure out the best way to plan with an estate, with a trust, with whatever they need. But also remember, your equity is your friend. All that money, all those payments you've made is a great way and a great tool to be able to offset expenses in the future.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the times when we talk about that as an option, and people will say, why don't I just sell the house and take the cash? And sure, that's an option. But what you just described is a family that wants to stay in the home. They want to stay in their house that they've lived in and they've built for, they've put all the sweat equity, let alone the monetary equity into there, right? And a lot of people have, Michael, and we've talked about this, you and I have ad nauseum about, they have bad memories of what the old reverse mortgage used to be because my pushback is that what do you think happened in, 2004, 5, 6, and 7 with regular mortgages? There's predatory lending all over the place in different spots. So to explore what they have done with the heck I'm with making it an option that really makes sense for some people, and they do really look out for you. You heard, if you've been listening, you heard your, the tagline that has to go after your little comeback there that explains, hey, you have to go through you have to talk to a counselor and do all these things. They make sure that you know what's going on and all the ins and outs of it before you do it.
Yeah, they make it safe for seniors. We have to make it safe for seniors. And using your equity as a tool in retirement is critical if you don't have over $200,000 saved, because if you do have an event, medical event, they won't let you leave the hospital if you don't have $200,000 or more or long-term care. You have to sign a waiver that says Medicaid can attach your home to pay for any medical expenses over and above what Medicare pays for. That gets expensive,
yeah.
$100,000 a year, $70,000 a year. So their intent was to help people age in place, have in-home care, not have to go to a retirement center. And that's beneficial, something that people should think about, we should talk about, they should look at. And the sooner they do it, the better. I have another client who, 62 and 65, he wants to work a couple more years, but he doesn't want to have to continue to make mortgage payments. So they're going to knock that out, no longer paying the bank. They can start investing that extra money, that $1,000 a month, back into their portfolio, back into their pockets, instead of continuing to give it to the bank. That'll help them make their retirement goal. And that line of credit, it's going to grow at the same interest rate as the mortgage. So if you have a 4 right now, they're about 4%, your line of credit can grow at 4% as well.
So can you talk a little bit more about that just as a vehicle for folks who are looking for something along that line? You're not actually taking out the mortgage, but say, hypotheticals are silly, right? But, let's say I'm 65-year-old's got $60,000 left on her mortgage that has on a house, a $400,000 house. Right. So, and she's maybe thinking about kind of, okay, well, I'd like to retire, but I have this $1,500, $1,600 a month mortgage payment that I have to make. So that's basically all she's working for.
Yeah, and she's making maybe double payments. I had a client.
Right.
She was making double payments, trying to knock out the mortgage, and she was just tired. Just tired of it. Wanted to have the stress gone. So we were able to come in, knock out the loan, and now she can take that money and invest it. So in her position, she not only had about $50,000 in the line of credit, but now she has $1,100 she doesn't have to pay the bank. So that's going into her retirement account. Great benefit. I also have large investors who have multi-million-dollar portfolios who use a line of credit option. So they just put a line of credit on their home using the HECM. They don't have to pay it back unless they want to. And that line of credit is growing rapidly. So they can pull that money out tax-free anytime they want. And it also gives them a cushion for down the road if they don't have long-term care insurance to use that instead of robbing their portfolio.
Right. Well, you know, care is what, $7,000-$8,000 a month right now here in Oregon to have full in-house care. It, you know, it can get really expensive. That goes up really, really fast. So the another, you know, it feels like I'm grilling you right now, but no, another, you know, pushback that, you know, the question that I have when I start talking about, you know, this is an option and I don't, you know I know enough to be dangerous, right? But is if, you know, that same, let's use that same, you know, 65-year-old who's got this $60,000 mortgage is all she's got left. But this house is what she thinks about. That's her legacy for her kids, right? Because the plan we've talked about, the plan is here's the money that I've saved for retirement. Here's how we're going to get there. That's all going to be, we kind of plan that that's going to be spent down, whether that's medical costs or just living, right? But so then her house is what she's leaving to her kids. And, you know, the explanation that I have is that you're not, in the old days of the reverse mortgage, basically you're giving up complete ownership in the house, but a lot of times there is leftover equity, right? Can you talk a little bit about that? For
yeah, there is. Let me hit two steps before that. One, this is an FHA insured mortgage loan, so the kids are insured against any loss. So if the mortgage loan grows to $300,000, they can only sell the house for $200,000. FHA insurance eats that loss. The kids do not have to declare bankruptcy, so the kids never take a loss. The other thing is the title remains in the owner's home, in the owner's name. So it can be transferred to the children upon death. Then it's the children's home, and they have 12 months to sell it. No bank owns it. It's an FHA lien against the property. So it's a way that they can even get out. A lot of my clients also say, well, what if I want to sell it? You can sell it any time. There's no penalty. You will take your equity and move on to your next position or whatever your home is or whatever you're doing in your planning. That's a big deal because now they've made it safer because they want you to use your equity. They don't want you to use Medicaid.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Which makes sense just because, you know, Medicaid is just a growing cost. So hypothetically, in that we just talked about in that same situation, I get my mortgage paid off. So I have a $60,000 FHA lien on my house and I have a credit line, you know, high because they loan up to, is it 45%?
45 to 50% based on age.
Yeah. So we'll just use easy math, right? $400,000 house, I could get a $200,000 credit line, $60,000 of that amount that the loan has gone to pay off the mortgage, right?
Right. So let's say you have $140,000 in your line of credit.
And that's growing at 4% a year, which...
Or whatever the rates go to.
Right. So, but let's say it's 4% just for easy math again. So I'm getting $6,000 a year basically in earnings in interest, and I can't get that at a savings account right now.
No. And it's not right for everybody, but it is a great tool to use in your planning for retirement because... 3 out of 5 seniors right now are saying they have to continue to work in retirement.
Right.
That's bad. There is only 1%, 4% of our seniors who have more than $100,000, which means they'll go on Medicaid when they fall and break their hip.
Right.
And that's expensive.
That's expensive. And
the kids get nothing then.
It's a drain on everything else. Right. Because to get Medicaid, you have to spend everything down or get rid of it basically. And so that makes it a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. I'm running into a lot of seniors who are just stressed with their mortgage payment.
Sure.
And they've been paying it for a long time and they can't make ends meet. So they're knocking out their mortgage, using their equity as a cushion to travel and have fun. It's a great opportunity. I was introduced to another client through a financial planner and the lady didn't have a big mortgage. It was only $800 a month, but it was really ruining her retirement plan because she was having to draw out of her IRA to make ends meet because her budget's tight. So when we knocked it out, she's got $800 now back in her pocket that she doesn't have to spend on a mortgage payment. So she's really happy. And it helped her relieve the stress because that was her point. She said, Michael, I just can't handle the stress anymore. I need to get out of this. I need something that's going to give me a better life right now. And that was good for her.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And you still got to pay your property tax. You still got to pay your homeowner's insurance, but you get knocking out the principal and interest payment on there is really great, and letting your home sort of pay for it can make a lot of sense. Like you said, the big caveat is we're not on here saying, hey, everyone needs to go out and get a HECM tomorrow. It's trying to get that information out there that people may not know that that's an option for who it makes sense for. You know, we say, you know, when I talk about planning or investments, or people ask, what should I do with my money? Everything has its place. Its place may not be in your portfolio or in your retirement plan, but it is in someone else's.
That's right.
Right. And it can make a lot of sense in those situations. Like you said, mm-hmm. if we're just knocking out a small mortgage, knocking out that payment, that's really hurting you.
Well, how about the downsizing? I hear this all the time. My knees hurt. The yard's too big. I can't handle it anymore. What am I going to do? Well, you have an opportunity to take your equity and go to your next home, put 55% down, 55 to 60%, not have to make a mortgage payment again. You own your home free and clear. If you want to sell it, you can, but you're not locked into it. But you just saved 45% of whatever that. So I'm buying a $500,000 home or $400,000 home, I have to put down $220,000. That's a lot of money back in my pocket. So they're saving $180,000. What would they do with that? And that's what people are looking at, is I need that cushion in retirement, and I don't need as big of a home. So it's a great product. It's called the Home Equity Conversion Purchase Program. You put 55 to 60% down, you save all that money, and you don't have a mortgage payment for the rest of your life, on your spouse's life. Your spouse can live in the home until they pass away, which is critical.
Yeah. And then in that situation is basically like a reverse, or a HECM. I got to stop using the reverse, right?
Yeah.
The HECM on there. So you have a loan, basically a lien on the house for the 45% that you didn't pay, and that's growing at, you know, reasonable, you know, 4%.
Whatever interest rates are at.
Yeah. And that's a question that comes up. So is it a variable rate that goes up with
There's three different types. There's a fixed, there's a monthly rate, which adjusts monthly, which the investors like, because if they have a large line of credit, it can go as high as 14%. So a gentleman bought a house for $600,000. He put $312,000 down. He sold his other home. He then knocked out that existing HECM mortgage down to about $8,000. And so he has $280,000 in the line of credit that's earning 4% right now. He's happy camper, because he said, this is the best muni bond fund. I didn't say that.
Right.
He said that. Muni bond fund I've ever had, because I can pull that out tax-free.
Sure.
And so it's a good strategy for people to think about. Not use all your cash in your next purchase, because your kids are still going to get your home with a HECM, because they leave so much equity in there.
Right.
Unless the market's crazy, when they pass away and the kids inherit it, the kids are still going to get something.
Right, but if the market was doing that, like you said, it's crazy, a situation where the market has taken a severe downturn, they're going to get less either way, whether or not they have the HECM they have to pay off.
Right, and the kids have 12 months to sell the home or keep the home. They can knock out the existing HECM loan and keep the home, refinance in their name. And if they're over 62 and you plan correctly, they could actually get on the loan so they could keep the home and not have to make payments.
That would be that. That's not a terrible thing. It's better than a sharp stick in the eye, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to take our last break here, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about some planning options, some things I'd really like to talk about, some things I'm seeing with clients coming in that they aren't talking about with their financial advisor, and something you should be talking about with your financial advisor or your CPA. So we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Simplify. Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future, and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. We've been talking about various and sundry options out there that people may not know about, the HECM, the estate election on your trust. It's something I really wanted to talk about, and it kind of, to steal a phrase, it grinds my gears, you know, is when people don't hear from their financial advisor, they don't hear from their CPA that they're working with about a Roth conversion. And I've talked about Roth IRAs and the power of contributing to Roth IRAs, but no matter what happens with the SECURE Act and whether or not they move that RMD number from 70 and a half to 72, which they might, it kind of seems like they will, I don't know. I try not to guess what they're doing in Washington.
Yeah.
But so a thing that's really powerful is a Roth conversion as you're approaching retirement or when you're in retirement, when your income may be lower than when you're working. And if you get money into a Roth has no RMD, no required minimum distribution. The money comes out tax-free, which is huge, makes your CPA feel like they're doing a great job, right? They've kept your tax bill low.
That's right.
And it also goes to your heirs tax-free. So it can be a really powerful tool. And Kevin, we were just talking about, you said you have a client that we're upping their Roth conversion right now. Tax rates, I don't see them going down.
Mm-hmm.
They're historically low. They're pretty low right now. I know a lot of people are kind of grumbling and griping about that they may have gotten a little bump on this last year because they were withholding incorrectly, right? But either way, your overall tax rate is super low. In a situation, we just met with a client, Chuck and I did where we were talking to, and we said, hey, here's, you know, you're 62, 66. You haven't been working for a while. Took a little early retirement, quote unquote. You have a ton of money in IRA, no Roth money. Let's talk about converting some over time to Roth. And that can be really powerful. And we're talking about it, but we do have a caller on the line. George has a question about TSP. Hello there, George.
Hello. Well, glad to talk to you. I was wanting to ask you, if you remember, was that last week or week before when the stock market went down 700 points?
Mm-hmm.
I had money in the TSP in the general fund. I just kept it laying there because the stock market is so crazy.
Right.
And when it went down 700 points, I went into the TSP, and I had 80% of my money in the general. I went 50-50 now. I went those three stocks they offer, I went 50%, and then I left 50% in the general.
Right.
And I'm retired already, and that money just kind of like my emergency fund. And I was wondering, is that I know, like you said, when the stock market's down, it's like it's on sale. And I just wondered if you would recommend maybe I put more money in the stocks right now, because I think it went lower now than it was a couple weeks ago.
You know, that's a good question, George. So it could be a good plan. It really depends on how comfortable you are with that fluctuation that could happen, right? What I heard you say when you started was we had it in the general fund because the stock market is so crazy right now. I would worry for you if the last couple of weeks have been pretty crazy, but it could get a lot crazier, right? And my crystal ball is broken. Been trying to guess when the market's going to go down, when it's going to come up. In general, what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Yeah, the market is down. Let's buy some stocks, right? And it sounds like you made a good move to get some money exposed to that in that G fund, right? In the TSP, in the growth one with the stocks, and that, you know, that could be a smart plan. I would hesitate if you are retired to go much more than 50% in the market, because you got to think about it. When we're drawing off of it, we have to pull money out, and you do have required minimums once you hit 70.5, right? So if we're pulling off of it and the market's down and you have to pull it from the investments that are down, it's just compounding your losses. So hypothetically, and like I said, I got to speak a little bit in generality because I don't know your overall situation, but allocating some to the market as it goes down makes a lot of sense. It depends completely on your personal tolerance for risk, because I'd say if you're buying into the growth fund, that G fund, right, then we want to hold on to that because you want to move it back to the general fund when it's up, right? Not when it's down. So if you can handle it, that the fact that it might go down here in the next couple of weeks or months, then that's a great investment, you know, and you could put more in, but just remember we want to not pull it out when it's down, because that's the only time you're actually realizing a loss, George, is when you pull it out, right? So it's all the only time we're actually realizing a gain either, right? But does that make sense?
Yeah. That's what I was trying to do is buy low and sell high.
Buy low and sell high. Yeah, totally. And the only problem with that is that you got to be right twice, right? but it's a good idea. And I think, you know, just in order to make the retirement last, you have to have some allocated towards stocks. So I'm with you. I'm on board, George, with having, you know, allocated, let's push some into stocks. And like I said, without knowing your overall situation with the TSP and everything else you got going on, I can't tell you specifically how much should be allocated to stocks. But the general rule that I would tell you to use is how much money are you comfortable have, you know, because that TSP stock fund could go down 30%, right? So are you comfortable with half of your portfolio possibly losing 30%? Then okay. That's the amount we use. That's what I would use as a rule of thumb, is how much money are you willing to have fluctuate by possibly that much?
Yeah. Like I said, that's just my emergency fund.
Right.
And I'm taking withdrawals from it at RMD now.
Right, because they make you.
But I just wondered if 50-50 is a good ratio right now, because I don't mind it stock going down some more.
Right.
I just wondered if I should buy more if it goes down more, but
if it's your emergency fund and you're not using it for anything other than, hey, if something happens, or, you know, if you're, you know, fund money as well, then yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. If it does go down more, to buy more. I may not do the, I may not go as big as another 50% of the portfolio, but I would adding more as it goes down is, you know, not a bad plan, because you're buying on sale, and especially if this is money that you've earmarked to just be emergency money or fund money. But the problem is if that emergency happens and we're down 30%, that's where I'd worry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, both. Okay. Thank you so much.
You betcha. That was a great question, George. And that's, you know, that's a common question that we get about allocating inside a TSP or a 401k, and it all comes back to your risk tolerance, right? The biggest thing is, you're not wrong. I have a client, he's 65, he's just retired. He's 80%+ in the market, but he's willing to take that risk, right? That's, and we've talked about it, and I said, here's the thing, and honestly, I documented that we talked about it, right? Just because I got to make sure that I'm proving that I talked to him about, hey, this is a little bit more risk than I would take if I was you. But that's where he wants to be, and that's how he's made the money, and he's comfortable with the swings in the market. So if you're comfortable on the Matterhorn, ride the Matterhorn. If you're comfortable on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, let's go over there. So that's, you know, that's the biggest key. So kind of talking about, I wanted to get back to the Roth conversion, Kevin, because we were just talking about, what do you use? Is there a rule of thumb that you use, or kind of and I know we've got just a minute or two left here, but is there a rule of thumb you use when deciding how much to convert?
Typically, I look at the break between the 12% bracket and the 22% bracket. If a person's smack dab in the 22%, that's getting up into the higher brackets. But if you've got room left in the 12% bracket, whether you're single or married, take advantage of that.
Okay. And that's a good rule for converting money. Is we can get as much money into that tax-free bucket as possible is great, right? Because it's tax-free. And I don't know that tax rates are going to go up. I'm pretty sure they are. I don't know. You know, the one thing I can guarantee in our business is that the market will go down.
Yep.
Right? At some point.
Yeah. So the current tax rules are set for 7 years from when they were enacted. So somewhere around 2025, 2026, we'll revert back to what we had beforehand. So who knows what will happen between now and then. But usually they don't, you know,
usually
get rid of them. But we'll see what happens.
Right. It's good. It's important to plan for that. So we've got just about a minute left here. Kevin, if people have questions about Roth conversions, about their estate taxes, about anything tax-related, how do they get a hold of you?
We are at baker-colson.com. Our phone number is 503-666-5569.
Perfect. And Michael, if people need to get a hold of you because they heard this amazing mortgage rate that you're offering right now, or take advantage, learn some more about the HECM and how it could work for them, how do they get a hold of you?
Easiest way is 360-690-5278. Call or text.
Perfect. And if you have a question about your retirement planning, your work optional planning, or your just a financial planning in general, anything we've talked about today, give me a call, 503-253-3000, or visit us on the web at pfg.com. WM.com. Thank you for listening to Investing Simplified. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Be safe out there. And let's go, Ducks.
Go, Ducks.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called AssetLock. AssetLock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers AssetLock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have AssetLock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get AssetLock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.